You're listening to Access Minnesota. Now, here's Jim Dubois.
We're talking with Dr. Therese Zink, Associate Director of the Medical School Rural Physician Associate Program at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Zink has extensive experience in practicing medicine in rural settings, also is an accomplished writer, has a new anthology, The Country Doctor Revisited, a 21st Century Reader. Dr. Zink, with your experience practicing medicine in rural settings, how did you learn to navigate the issues of the dual relationships and the limited resources that you find in smaller communities?
So I was rural for part of my life. When I was 10, we moved to the farm where my mother had grown up. And then I went to college, went to medical school, and actually practiced urban for a while. So I came back to the rural setting about 8 years ago when I bought 20 acres about an hour south of the cities and started working at the local clinic. I was also working at the U, which gave me kind of a venue for having a larger connections. And so learning how to negotiate it myself, I think, was a process of trial and error. As a physician, boundaries are an important issue, and that's something I've thought about all of my life as a physician, because you're constantly kind of working with patients about very sensitive areas. And when I was living rural and practicing the clinic, I kind of realized I was facing it in a very much more personal way. And so I think sometimes you teach what you need to learn.
Many of our younger listeners have probably never encountered a doctor who makes house calls. I have some vague memories of my pediatrician coming to our house when I was very young, but that was also in the early 1960s. The doctors and the medical practitioners in The Country Doctor Revisited often make house calls. Is this something that's sort of unique now to rural medicine?
House calls, I think, probably have always been part of medicine. You know, as we try to innovate medicine to better serve the patient, and this is kind of the effort with the healthcare home, we look at ways to provide care that are not just in the clinical setting. And so, as we talked about earlier, that may be through e-visits, so it's simply a computer exchange. It may be through the telephone. And sometimes home visits are warranted. A lot of times the people doing the home visiting for us are the nurses. And I really see them as my eyes and ears, because there's so much that you pick up in the home that you can't possibly when you've got that patient in the office. And home visiting nurses have been part of healthcare for a very long time. The other arm of that is hospice, which will go into the home during end-of-life care. And that's also very important because they also work with the family. So I do occasionally do home visits at this point. My guess is that that will change as we do more innovating of healthcare. I make home visits when it feels like it's really paramount for the patient to do that. And both of the times that I have, it have been in kind of critical decision points for the patient to better understand kind of what they're dealing with, and also to meet with the family and make some decisions. So I'm thinking of a patient whose wife died, and he took a sudden decline with two hospital visits within a month, and we needed to really make some decisions with the family, and it was really easier for me to go to them over the noon hour than to have this extended family try to come to the clinic. And I learned some really delightful things about this patient. It was a farm couple, and I had enjoyed taking care of both of them, and what I learned when I was in the home is that this farmer was a tremendous woodworker, and he talked a lot about the physician who had been in the practice about 10 years before me, who had done a number of visits and was well aware of his woodworking career. So it added a whole other layer of richness to the relationship, and I think those are the things that make being a doctor really special, is to know these nuances. This farmer is also a tomato grower, and so he also gave me a box of tomatoes to take home. And I think that when medicine becomes too much of a visit, where we're simply bean counters, how many people we talk to or see, you lose some of that kind of magic of the interpersonal relationship. And it's the ability to go do that home visit or have a bit of a more lengthy conversation with a patient to understand what they enjoy or what their fears are, that is really what feeds you and helps you not be burnt out from the practice.
In the country doctor visited, there's one home visit that's mentioned by Dr. Joseph Gibes, who visits a family in Amish country and encounters a rather unique challenge when he goes there to perform a circumcision. One very important utensil is not present. Tell us about that situation. And is something like that, does that appeal to some doctors who like to have to think on the fly and don't have the ability necessarily to walk down the hallway in a clinic to find the item they need, and they have to be very creative? Is that something that appeals to some people?
I think so. You know, and I think we see that with the tremendous interest in international health among medical students and residents. So one of the things I do is I direct the Global Family Medicine Pathway, and many students enter medical school already having spent some time internationally, and I've talked to a number of medical students between their first and second year who want to do something or planning something between their first and second year this summer. We've got a number of family medicine residents who want to spend a month abroad. And having done a fair amount of international work myself, you are faced with a much more resource-poor situation, and so creative problem-solving becomes critical. And I think that some of rural practice can prepare you for that, because you don't always have everything you need. The cardiologist is not around the corner, and sometimes you can't get them on the phone. We can put a lot of telemedicine in place to try to help us with that, but sometimes you're in a situation where the buck stops with you and you've got to figure out what to do, and you've got to pull on all the expertise that you have mustered to that point to deal with the situation. And I think some people kind of the way they are, they love that challenge. Some people would never choose that challenge and hence probably prefer to practice in areas where they're, in a big urban area surrounded by specialists. But I think some people really rise to that occasion and seek out those opportunities to do creative problem solving. You know, that rural does give you that opportunity. And so I always talk to the students that are interested in global health that one way to be well suited for any kind of global opportunity that you want to do in your career is to train rural.
We're talking with Dr. Therese Zink, the Associate Director of the Medical School Rural Physician Associate Program at the University of Minnesota. She has an anthology, The Country Doctor Revisited, a 21st Century Reader. Dr. Zink, something we haven't talked about earlier in the show is how rural America, once a more homogenous area, is becoming increasingly more multicultural. Both physicians and the patients come from other places and cultures than that of the descendants of the Scandinavian and German farmers that populated the areas for so long. How is that changing demographic altering the face of rural medicine?
So I think one of the more important things is that our healthcare centers need to be more friendly to some of what I'll call the new immigrant populations. And so that many of the new immigrant populations are bringing, working in some of the meatpacking plants, some of the farms. So they're bringing important jobs and economy. Working with RPAP and traveling, I've seen many communities have new Somali and Latino. The Hmong have been there longer. That brings kind of new economy, restaurants, grocery stores. And so in addition to the healthcare needs, there are people who are filling the need for jobs, but also building businesses. And so the communities really, I think, need to work with the leaders of the new immigrant communities in order to integrate them well. And I think some communities do that better than others. And that may be looking at how to integrate them into the, sometimes it's through a church, issues that come up in the school, the challenges of English as a second language. So there's many ways that I think communities can work to integrate these newer populations. From a healthcare perspective, it's important to have translators. So family members really should not translate for family members, particularly about private discussions. And we need to think differently about how we teach a Somali diabetic about food choices than we may a Latino diabetic or a Scandinavian farmer. So food choices are different. So we need to change our education so that it's appropriate to that culture. As the community is here longer, I think we begin to train individuals from that community to work in the healthcare setting so that you have nurses and eventually some of your doctors and providers who speak English and Somali, English and Hmong, and that's beginning to happen here in the Twin Cities as well. And so, you know, the face of Minnesota is changing, as is the rest of the U.S., and I think to acknowledge that directly and do some proactive planning only benefits the community. And then we avoid some of the problems that we hear about on the news, such as the racist slurs that occur in the high schools, or the disenfranchised individuals who really aren't getting the health care they need, then show up in the ER and use up a lot more resources because we didn't get the important preventative care that they needed.
With programs such as yours, are you optimistic you'll be able to recruit more docs and healthcare providers to rural communities?
You know, we hope so. I mean, RPAP has been one of the reasons that University of Minnesota has been one of the top medical schools in the country as far as turning out more primary care docs and a large number of rural docs. The other thing the Department of Family Medicine has started, we're now in our second year, is to work with some of the new immigrant communities to help their physicians. So they were, most recently we had three Somali physicians who were physicians back in Somalia who did not have the right criteria to get into medical school. But with a 7-month program of kind of preparation, you may have talked about this on your show earlier, are now first year residents in two of the family medicine residency programs. And so, and now we have four more who are in this year's preparation class. And so I think efforts like that, as well as looking at ways to train some of the new immigrants to be nurses and medical assistants or other healthcare capacities, helps us provide culturally sensitive care to the newer immigrant populations. So somebody who was raised in Somalia and practiced in Somalia knows some of the nuances about the culture that I, as a kind of German European have no idea. And I can try to be culturally sensitive, but there's things that I can't possibly say and do. And so I think it adds much more richness if we have a kind of a diversity of our providers within healthcare. But we have to be intentional about doing that. You know, often people from some of the immigrant cultures or even the disenfranchised within the U.S., such as the Native Americans or some of the African American, have not had the learning opportunities and don't score as well on their boards. And so we need, as a trainer of physicians, as a medical school, to help them do well in medical school and kind of make up for whatever was lost so that they can graduate, choose a residency, and then better serve Americans. And so it's not something that will happen without bringing some intentionality to that.
Dr. Therese Zink is the Associate Director of the Medical School Rural Physician Associate Program at the University of Minnesota. She has also written an anthology, The Country Doctor Revisited, a 21st century reader that explores the nuances, difficulties, and rewards that medical professionals face while practicing in rural settings. Dr. Zink, thank you so much for joining us on Access Minnesota.
Access Minnesota will return after these messages.